This morning, our theme is God worked through his servants, and we are going through a series based on experiencing God. This is the Bible study we are having in our church since May, and in some Sunday mornings, I'm going to be sharing with you, those who are doing the Bible study, and those perhaps you are not doing it, because you have been skeptical about it, you know what it's all about. I invite you to reflect upon that, because has been a blessing to you, those who have been doing it. Amen. And we did it in London in the previous church. We were blessed. We did it three times, So we finished, and then we were able to do it in other churches in the north of London, and that was a blessing. And I hope it will be a blessing to you here in Bangor. Now, here in Experiencing God, we talk about, I think that I got it wrong. My PowerPoint's a lot over the place, but let me, that's it. Is that we talk about seven realities of experiencing God. Sometimes we don't realize that something is happening, and I love the way the writers on this Bible study put it, that we have, the first reality is that God is at work all the time. So God is at work if I am working. God is at work if I am, on holidays. Were you on holidays? God was at work there. God is at work when we are studying, when we are at home. But the second reality is that God pursues a personal relationship with you. He loves you. He loves me. And he pursues a personal relationship with the worst person, with the worst criminal, with the person who says, I am beyond redemption. And then the third reality, very briefly, is that he invites us. When he's working, he invites us to do something for him. Whoever you are, wherever you are, God invites us to do something for him. How he speaks is the fourth reality. He speaks. How he speaks? Through his word, prayer, church, circumstances. God speaks in different ways. And when God speaks, he leads us to what? To a crisis. Reality five is that sometimes, for example, you hear a sermon. I hate that preacher. I don't like it. And you go out, because you are confronted by the word of God. You hear a song, you read a book in the Bible. I don't like that verse, and you want to tear the page. And some people they don't like. God speaks. When God speaks, let us into a crisis. And then the sixth reality is that we have to adjust. We have the options to follow or not to follow. So we have to adjust. And the final reality is that we have to obey, and it's only then that we experience God. That is basically, we finish the course. Okay, so that is experiencing God. Now, what happened is that today we are going to talk about Moses and one person from the New Testament and another example from the last century. Moses encountered with God in God worked through him. God can work through you, through me, only if we are in tune with him and we obey. Let us pray before we continue as we think about how God works through his servants. Father, we place into your hands this half an hour or so as we reflect upon your word. May your Holy Spirit speak to us. May your word challenge us. May your presence be a blessing to us, because we come in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We know the story of Moses, most of you. Moses was born when Israel were in slavery for hundreds of years. And the first reality is that God was already at work around Moses. We remember the story that Moses was supposed to die Because there was a decree, there was a, by law, every single male, firstborn male from the Israelites people, they have to die. God was at work. And then Moses, we know the story that he says, I don't like the palace. I like these people, the Hebrew people. And he killed an Egyptian. He now 10,000 kilometers, 6,575. I think that's the right number. From Egypt, he runs away to Midian. And there, the Lord comes to Moses. And he explains to Moses that he has been at work. Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 and 25 says, during that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out in their cry for help because of their slavery, went up to God. God heard their groaning. God heard their groaning. What was God already doing for Israel? He heard their calling. So God was at working even in that awful circumstances. God had a purpose. He was accomplishing Moses' word. Even though Moses was in exile in the desert in Midian, Moses was on God's schedule. In the fullness of God's timing, Moses didn't realize that God was at work. And now the second reality for Moses is that God pursued a continued loving relationship with Moses that was real and personal. God's purpose was to deliver the children of Israel, was the one through, Moses was the tool. So God comes to Moses, and we know when he goes to Moses in the burning bush, and he told Moses he will go with him into Egypt. And he said to Moses, I have heard their calling. I want to do this, and I want you to do it, and I'm going to be with you all the time. And now, this is not something that said, Moses, I want you to do this, off you go. Go. No, that's not how God does it. We read in many verses in the Bible how Moses has a personal relationship with God. Exodus chapter 24, a few chapters later, we see this. Can you imagine Moses with God? God says to Moses, come up with me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets. He's saying, come on, Moses, have a cup of tea, a cup of coffee with me. I'm going to give you the tablets. You're going to spend time with me. And we read about the glorious the Lord was there. And Moses entered and spent time with him. Is that not personal? God wanted to be with Moses. Have you been in love when you boyfriend, girlfriend? Do you remember those days? when that was the most beautiful girl in the world, and he was the most handsome man and strong in the world, you want to spend time with him. That is God. God wants to spend time with us. He wanted to spend time with Moses. So the second reality in Moses is that God pursued a personal relationship with him. But not only that, the third reality for Moses is that God invited Moses to become involved in his work. Remember, God have heard the calling reality. God goes to Moses and says, Moses, I want you to do something. And he invites him. Exodus 3 verses 8 and 10 says, I have come down to rescue my people from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And he says, so now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. God invites Moses to join him in something he wanted to do. What is it that he wants Moses to do? Well, can you go and talk to them? Talk to Pharaoh. Now, when God wants to do something, he will speak to you. He will speak to us. In the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7 says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants and prophets. God accomplishes his work through his people, And but what about us? Some say, well, Fred, have you had the burning bush? Anyone has had the burning bush here? Oh, amen. Well, you need to tell me all about it. But not all of us have the burning bush. You know what we have? That wonderful book, the Bible. That's how God speaks to us. That's how God gives us direction. And in the Bible, it's designed to help you and me to understand God's way. That's the reason why I love that Bible. I love that book. Because it tells me what should I do, what not. I will not listen to any other theologian. I will not listen even to the Pope. I will not listen even to Billy Graham or Franklin Graham. I will not listen. I will listen to what? To that wonderful book. Because that's what Moses did. He listened. He listened what God wanted to do through him. So maybe you are not going to have the burning bush, but we have the Bible. And now, the fourth reality comes when God speaks to reveal himself, his purposes in his way. God reveals what he's about to do. The revelation becomes an invitation. God talked to Moses about his will. God wanted Moses to go to be in Egypt. And now what God did, revealed his holiness. God revealed his mercy. God revealed his power. God revealed his name. That's what God does here. He reveals his holiness. He reveals his purpose. He reveals his mercy. And he said to Moses, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here I am, Lord. And he said, don't let come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And he goes and says to him, hey, Moses, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, Isaac, and God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. I want to help them. I want to set them free. My friends, when we read the Bible, that's what God reveals. When we see around and we see people, you know, we read the news and we see even our young people harming themselves. They are trapped in drugs and violence, and our cities, you know, conflicts and towns. The Lord wants something for us. God speaks. But you know what? Moses, let's go back to Moses. God's invitation for Moses to work with him led him to a crisis of belief. Wait a minute. That required faith in action. He was shocked and said, but okay, God, I understand you are the Lord. And he hit his face and he said, But Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Moses said to Moses, suppose that I go to the Israelites and said to them, the God of your father has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? In another but, he said, but if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you, Moses says to the Lord, pardon you, servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, not since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Maybe Moses said, you know, I can't speak, Lord. Send somebody else. Moses was really doubting God more than himself. That's the reality. Moses faced a crisis of belief. God really is able to do what he says? But when God asks you to do something, say, I cannot do it. That's impossible. That's what Moses is saying. In the book of Hebrews later, we are going to read about Moses' faith. But here, what is he having? A crisis. How you have a crisis of faith? I always have a crisis of faith. But the six realities is that, shall we read together these realities? Moses Christ's call for faith and action. I told you, I give you the right distance between Egypt and Midian. 10,750 kilometers. Or 6,679 miles and 2 meters. No, that's 6,679 miles. He's comfortable. He has a job. He's respected. Wife and children. But he has traveled all that. Now he have to go back. I'm going to leave my job. How am I going to eat? Have to make adjustments. Moses have to be in the right place with God. He have to believe that God can do it. But it didn't mean that he have to be on his own. No, he have to have faith. When God speaks to you, when God challenges you, you have to make adjustments in your life. You cannot be the same. And that's what Moses did. And now Moses says, the Lord said to Moses, go back to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you are dead. So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. It's not that he's traveling by train, airplane, or by car, on a donkey. I don't know how long was that. He said, but he had to make this arrangement. And he took the staff of God in his hand. Moses adjust. Moses accomplished what God asked him to do. And then, we don't have so much time, but in Hebrew you can read about Moses. Now we read Hebrews hundreds of years later, and we read about his faith. But he had a crisis of belief. God, I cannot do it. Send somebody else. You know, this is me. I believe God wanted Moses to speak. And you know, he provided Aaron, but who was the guy who always brought trouble? Aaron. Moses wanted him to do it. Okay, so God said, take you, brother. I imagine that if Moses said yes, he could have speak. You know, he said, well, no, and he could have done it. In Hebrews, it says, by faith, what he did. But 28 says, by faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn will not touch the firstborn of Israel. Can you imagine? By faith, he was able to do things. Now he's in a better place. Can you imagine Moses? Let's be honest. It's easy for us to read now. Okay, he's in Egypt and it's the last plague. And he had told the Pharaoh that what is going to happen? The angel of the death is coming. The angel of the Lord is coming to kill the firstborn. He said, okay, guys. The Lord gave him a specific instructions about the meal. Everything was there. And he says, paint the blood. Yeah, put the blood on the door. Can you imagine Moses say, wait a minute. I don't like that herb. I like tomatoes instead. Or like bacon there. Can you imagine? Or say, no, I don't. Blood. That's not politically correct. We cannot do that. We better put glitter on the doors. You know, that's Moses. Moses has to obey every single instructions from the Bible. Faith. By faith, the people passed through the sea on dry land. When Jesus tried to do it, they were drowned. My friends, the final reality is that Moses came to know and experience God when he obeyed. When he obeyed. He was not giving any excuses. He obeyed. He obeyed. This says, and when you read Exodus 14, you know, when you watch the movies and you see how Hollywood portray that, you know, it's, you know, you feel that Moses stretched out his hands over the sea. And all that night, the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided. Behind them is the most powerful army on earth, coming after them with the king himself coming. But he is there, and Moses obeyed exactly what the Lord is saying. And the Israelites went through the sea and on dry ground with a wall of water on the right side and on the left. The Egyptians tried to do the same, and we know what happened. The Lord said to Moses, now stretch out your hand over the sea so the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. And he does it as the Lord requested. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with all the water on the right, on the left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore, the most powerful army on earth. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord display against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. That happened when we obey the Lord. They trust the seven realities. Now you can say, Freddie, but what about ordinary people? I am a simple mortal. How can I do it? Well, let me tell you very briefly another example. That's Moses. Now in the New Testament, how many of you remember the story of Peter healing the crippled beggar? You know, this guy has been born like that. So nobody can deny that that's happening. So Peter and John comes. And this man who has been crippled since he was born, he says he was expecting what, probably? Money? Some food? But Peter said, we don't have money, we don't have gold, we don't have silver. What we have, what is it that he has? The gospel. In the name of Jesus, walk. And now people are troubled, said, wow, what's going on? And Peter and John were called before the Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish court in the land. Why is it that you are doing this? That's not the way we do things here. So you are in trouble. You are awful. And they with boldness defended the gospel. And this is the verse I love. In the book of Acts, shall we read this verse together? Acts chapter 4, verse 13. After all the fuss of the trial, let's read it. They had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. How long do you spend with Jesus? What can an ordinary person do? Is as much as you spend time with Jesus, as much as you have been consecrated to him. Believe me, we can experience these miracles and more. Do you believe that? We can experience. Now, D.L. Moody, I love the story of this man. That's the reason why you always keep on hearing from my lips. Maybe because, you know, he was an educated man, an ordinary man. Maybe he has a terrible English grammar like mine. Maybe worse. you know. But that's D.L. Moody. Now, D.L. Moody, he was a poor, uneducated, an ordained, a shoe salesman who felt God's call to preach the gospel. Say, I want to preach. And then one day, he was with his friends. And they heard another preacher, Henry Varley. Henry Varley says, the world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through the man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. And that's D.L. Moody. Wow. But this is a man who was uneducated. He was not an academic. He's there. And then later, he goes and listens to Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers. Charles Spurgeon is preaching, and D.L. Moody may be sitting in one place like that gallery there, sitting, and he heard Charles Spurgeon preaching, and he said, I can do that. And he said, well, the world have yet to see with and for and through and in a man. And he said, well, Henry Varley says, any man, he didn't say he have to be educated or brilliant or anything else, just a man. Well, by the Holy Spirit, Moody be one of these men. And D.L. Moody became one of the famous preachers who preach in America, preach here in the UK, and thousands and thousands and thousands came to the Lord. An ordinary person, an ordinary woman, but somebody who is consecrated to the Lord. That's the difference. That's the difference. My friends, as I conclude today, let me bring the words of the Apostle Paul as a way of encouragement. The Apostle Paul says, maybe he's checking the membership of the church in Corinth, and he saw that they were no academics, they were no wealthy people, influential people. And he said, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God used the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God used the weak things of the world to shame the strong. The lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Hey, God can work through you. And he says to the church, it is because of him. It's about Jesus. It's about what he says. You are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in whom? In the Lord. This church needs people who are consecrated to the Lord. London, Manchester, the UK, Germany, America, Latin America need people who are consecrated. One Bible commentator says, the world measures greatness by many standards. At the top are intelligence, wealth, prestige, and position, things which God has determined to put at the bottom. God reveals the greatness of his power by demonstrating that it is the world's nobodies that are his somebodies. God wants to use you and me. God can work through his servant. May the Lord help us to do that. And remember the seven realities. God is at work. He invites you to have a personal relationship with him. He is going to speak to you. That's going to lead you to a crisis of belief. But you need to adjust, my friend. You need to obey. Never think, I am too old. I am too young. I don't know how to do it. God is able to do anything he pleases with one ordinary person who is fully consecrated to him. Are you one of them? Are you one of them? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord help you to allow you to be one of his servants, because he can work through you. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we want to serve you. We want to honor you. We want to worship you. We want to see this city change, this country change. Oh Lord, sing again. Father Moses, Peter St. John's, D.L. Moody's, Charles Spurgeon's, here in this room, they are somebody. There is somebody. There are some people that you are calling them to work for you. Help us to be obedient. Help us allow you to be our vision so we can serve you and honor you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.